Misty Mountain Gaming presents GeekCard right here on Reality Radio 101. And now, right to your geeks, Andrew Young and Mr. Green.
Welcome to GeekCard, where you can't always get what you want, but if you try, sometimes you get what you need. I'm your host, Andrew Young, and hopefully with me is my co-host, Mr. Green. Right now, he's rejoining our call here, so just give us a minute. But welcome to the show. It is a fun show tonight. I want to start off the show by welcoming our newest sponsor, Misty Mountain Gaming, to the program. They are masters of dice and supplies for role-playing games. They are the people that can enhance your role-playing adventures. And you're going to hear a lot more about them later tonight. Mr. Green, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Fantastic. How are you doing tonight?
I was doing really great until you gave me that drink earlier, and I'm still feeling a little woozy. Like, how long are these effects going to last?
It all depends, man. All depends.
Depends on what? Like, what should I be looking for?
Weight, height, are you seeing unicorns right now?
Now that you say it, I thought it was weird that there was a horse here.
Okay, so when that goes away, you're fine. Just remember that, okay?
When no more unicorns, I'll be okay.
That's right. Hopefully that'll happen within the next 60 minutes of GeekCard, brought to you by Misty Mountain Gaming. We've got a great show for you tonight. Later on in the program, you're actually going to hear an interview Mr. Green did, the second in our series of three interviews with cast and crew from the Dead Boy Detectives. The two stars of the show, George Rextrew and Jaden Reverie, Mr. Green got to talk with them. We're going to hear that interview in its entirety. We're also going to be giving our review of The Fall Guy, which is in theaters now. But I think probably the best thing about tonight is the return of a very special guest, a good friend of ours, good friend of the show, a man we like to have on the program, a man who does great artwork in the comics medium, but also is a good man to chat to from time to time and always a welcome face at many of the events that I go to in the greater Toronto area. Welcome back to the program, comic artist Adam Gorham.
Hi. Hey.
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
It's going very well. I'm excited to be back. It's great to be back.
Fantastic. Well, we got a lot of fun times we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of your work, some upcoming work, some work that just came out. But before I do that, I just want to talk about something. We've talked about it before on the show. And like, Mr. Green, you and I have talked about it a number of times on the show before. And we've talked about it with guests about AI. And, you know, it's proper use. It's proper use because, you know, there is a chance that down the road it can be used as a helpful tool. But right now it's not, hasn't been regulated, hasn't been figured out. So there's a lot of things in the realm of filmmaking, in the realm of comic books, art, all that sort of stuff. We still haven't figured that out. But I will say on this program, Mr. Green, I figured out something, a way we can use it here on GeekCard where it doesn't hurt anybody.
Okay, how's that?
As getting it to write stupid songs about people on the show. Let's take a listen right now to a song that I put together called Gravy Dreams, right here on GeekCard.
Mr. Green, the host of GeekCard, with a passion for gravy and a taste for the stars. He dreamed of a restaurant selling meat so fine, but the world just ain't ready for a geek serving prime. Wore his headphones like a crown of thorns, ranting about comics and movies, pushing the norms. But in the kitchen he found his solace, his peace, chopping up cuts, making meals that'll make your jaw cease. Gravy running through his veins, fire in his
for both and be a door.
And that was Gravy Dreams, the story of Mr. Green and his attempts to start up Mr. Green's Tasty Meats, which did not happen. So what'd you think of that, Green? You think that was good use of AI?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I put together a couple other songs that are going to play throughout the night the show. That's something for you fans to look forward to. Of course, we got much more to say here on the program. We're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Adam Gorham, and we'll be going through the night and figure out a way to use this AI in a fun and friendly way right here, Geek Hard, Rad Radio 101.
Magic has begun.
Yes, feels like I could shoot a lion from my chest.
Calling all tabletop gaming adventurers. At Misty Mountain Gaming, we don't just believe in dice. We celebrate them as the beating heart of every adventure. Our dedication to crafting the highest quality dice ensures that every roll is a moment of anticipation, every outcome a twist in your epic tale. But our passion extends far beyond dice alone. From essential gaming accessories to finely detailed minifigures, Misty Mountain Gaming provides everything you need to bring your gaming sessions to life. And for those seeking a truly immersive experience, our monthly subscription loot boxes deliver a curated selection of gaming treasures directly to your doorstep, guaranteeing excitement with each delivery. So whether you're a seasoned dungeon master or a fresh-faced recruit, roll on to www.mistymountaingaming.com. and discover a world where dice reign supreme.
In the land of ink and paper, Adam Gorham reigns, a swift strokes and bold lines, sketches with no chains, from Marvel to IW. His art is uncontained, a comic artist extraordinaire, a legend unrestrained.
Welcome back to Geek Hard right here on Reality Radio 101. And now back to your geeks, Andrew Young and Mr. Green.
Welcome back to Geek Hard. Andrew Young and Mr. Green here. And with us is the man who was the subject of that last song called Jurassic Inc., Adam Gorham. Adam, what did you think of what did you think of AI's interpretation of your career?
Caught me by surprise, if I'm being honest. But you know, I think they nailed it.
There you go. Well, we're going to talk some more with Adam about comics, but before we do, just want to remind you folks that this show is brought to you by Misty Mountain Gaming. You can check out all of their wares at mistymountaingaming.com. Of course, they are a tabletop lifestyle brand that offers premium tabletop role-playing game products and accessories that last a lifetime. So check them out at www.mistymountaingaming.com. Also, if you want to write in with questions for Adam, questions for myself, questions for Mr. Green, your reviews of the movie The Fall Guy, your reviews of other movies, your thoughts on AI, your thoughts on the songs that AI has produced for this special episode of Geek Hard, or anything else you might like to say. Last week, somebody gave me a limerick. If you want to send a poem, send it our way, geekhardshow@gmail.com. So, Adam...
Hey.
We've had you on a bunch of times, and we know that you're a lover of the kaiju. You got something special coming up that involves the kaiju very soon, but just recently you wrapped up a four-issue run on Star Wars Darth Vader, the Marvel comic, The Rise of the Schism Imperial story arc. This was a longer return for you to the book, right?
Yeah, it sure was. They had me for 2 issues last year. It was a lot of fun. And I guess they really liked the work that I did on it because they asked me back for 4 more. It was a real, real trip. Like I'm a fan of Star Wars. I got to draw stuff that I had seen on screen, characters that I had seen on screen. It was a very, very cool assignment. And, it's also just, it feels nice to be asked back somewhere. You know what I mean? Like when you go to a friend's house for a party and they're like, you should come back. That feels nice. Right.
Yeah.
This was the same thing. I got invited back to Darth Vader's house to play around, and it was fun.
You're like the Sally Fields of comics. They really, really, really like you.
Yeah, I get that reference.
Oh man,
it was her Oscar speech, right? She was accepting the Oscar.
That's right. Yeah.
Good callback there. You went into the vaults. I'm impressed. I'm thoroughly impressed.
You thought he was too young to get it, didn't you?
Well, at least forgetful.
Okay.
I am forgetful. This is true.
The number of times that I've gone to ask Adam a question and I get like random things. It's like, hey, how you doing, Adam? And then I get something back like butter chicken. Cool.
Butter chicken is actually a state of type of mood, state of mind.
Yeah, apparently. At least it is in the Gorham verse. So, you know, I appreciate that.
It's a state of being, you know, smooth, somewhat chunky.
That's a contradiction right there.
So is butter chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's butter Gorham.
There you go.
There we go. I like that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you, right? Like, it's awesome. Now, I also got to say, when you said going back to Vader's house, I'm like, do you really want to go back to Mustafar? Like, it's not the most inviting of places.
I mean, lava's kind of cool. it's got ambiance.
Yeah, it makes for a really cool backdrop, that's for sure.
Yeah. Like, have you ever driven by like a Portuguese rotisserie chicken restaurant?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I imagine Mustafar must smell like that sometimes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Mustafar's got great, great Portuguese chicken there. It's fantastic. Yeah.
That's what they do on the outskirts of his castle. That's you know, people are just cooking chicken everywhere.
There you go.
Why wouldn't you? But that's not for you to say.
Yeah, and to be clear, for anybody who's listening who hasn't read these issues of Vader, there is no Portuguese chicken in those issues. However, I know that, Adam, you really are pushing to put that in the future.
I'm coming back for issue 50, the last issue, and, there might be a sly nod to rotisserie chicken. You don't know.
There we go. There we go. I'm excited for that. Very excited for that. My God. But this was actually kind of a, you know, again, when you're dealing with Darth Vader, things can get kind of scary, but this was kind of a really scary arc. Like, they come off some darkness already with the whole droid stuff, but now you're coming in, you're dealing with Darth Vader with cyborgs and mind control and the whole secret society that's planning to overthrow the Emperor and everything like that. There was a lot of tension in these issues. And did you feel that tension? Like, were you like trying to really display that tension in the layout on the page?
Yeah, I guess you could say so. I'm a pretty tense guy. I bring the intensity to every project that I work on. Darth Vader was certainly no exception. We came in hot on the heels of the Dark Droids saga. And we did some pretty interesting stuff with Vader's force abilities in this arc, and as well as like being the blurred line between what's a droid, what's a cyborg, you know, like, because at a certain point, like, you know, are you more robot than you or droid rather than you are human? So we deal with that a little bit, and then I got to create some cool underlings for Vader in this arc, cyborgs themselves, dark cyborgs, maybe, I don't know. If you will, we're kind of all over the place. And in that sense, it was really fun just to sort of do stuff that I hadn't seen in Star Wars before. I mean, not that I haven't seen everything there is to see in Star Wars, so I don't know. But when I was working on it, it felt very unique. Like, it just felt like a kind of a wacky story. And, you know, it was just, ultimately, it was just really fun to be a part of. One of my favorite parts of it, though, was in this arc, I got to introduce into the Star Wars comic canon. Now I'm going to blank on his name. The actor who was in Rise of the Skywalker, and he played like the old Loki in the Loki show. Do you know the actor I'm talking about? He's a really good English actor. He's been around forever with Nail and I.
Yep.
The villain in Hudson Hawk.
Oh my God. I'm totally blanking on his name. People are listening at home going, right, like, we know what this is.
And right. Like, well, if people are listening at home and you know what it is, email us in.
Yeah, no, I totally know who you're talking about, and it's driving me mental right now.
It's driving me mental too.
And I can't find his name fast enough. That's okay though. But yeah, Richard E. Grant.
Richard E. Grant. There we go. Okay. He was with Nail. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
So anyways, I introduced Richard E. Grant into the Star Wars comics universe. And, he's obviously, you know, much younger than he was when he appeared in Rise of the Skywalker. So my favorite thing about this particular arc was the debate we had between myself and the Marvel editors. I had to draw a younger version of him that needed to be approved. And, they didn't like the hairline that I gave him. They said he's younger, you know, his hairline is too receding. And this guy's been acting since forever. So I got to go back into his filmography and say, like, you know, this guy was born with this hairline. He's got a very prominent forehead and he should be proud of it. There was like a round of emails where we went back and forth, like, yes. Okay. Oh, okay. And, anyway, so that tickled me the most out of all of this was getting to draw Richard E. Grant. And I don't know if you've seen the comic. I don't know if he approves of it. I don't know if I'm on his hit list now. I don't know, but I'd be curious to hear what he thinks of it.
I, for one, think you did a very nice rendition of him.
Well, thank you. I aim to please Mr. Grant at all times.
Well, who wouldn't, right? Even though all of us forgot his name there for far too long, but that's okay.
That's okay.
There's a lot of actors, especially when you say, you know, older British actor was in this thing, did that thing, in Star Wars especially. You're going to forget.
An older British actor in a science fiction movie. You know that guy.
Oh, yeah. That really narrows it down. Yeah.
We're like FBI profilers here, right? We've got to start with the widest net possible and then just narrow it down after about 75 revisions. Yeah, no, for sure. And it's an interesting character seeing where Pride is at this point in his career. You know, you could see how he gets to where he goes.
Yes. Yeah. You know, much lower on the Imperial totem pole. But eager to climb that totem pole. So it was fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We got an email in from, I'm sorry, the name is not listed here, but it just says For Adam. And it says, hey, Andrew, love the AI shit, For Adam. And he sent a lovely picture of rotisserie chicken in the, very much. It looks very nice.
Yeah, yeah. It does. I'm looking at it right now. That's that's tasty and delicious.
There you go.
So thank you.
My God. But, you know, of course, this was this. This Darth Vader story, a lot of fun. Issue 45 just came out a couple of weeks ago. But you got things coming up in the coming months that are very exciting as well. And one of them is that you have a story in the Godzilla 70th anniversary one-shot celebrating 70 years of Godzilla.
Yes.
A lot of other great names in there. But, of course, you yourself was it last year or the year before that you had that one shot story?
I believe it was 2022.
2022. There you go.
Yeah.
And so you've had some time with Godzilla, with Gojira. What was it like to come back and contribute another story to the Godzilla canon?
I mean, it was great. I was very excited to do it. The real challenge this time around was being able to tell a good story within 10 pages. The last one I had 40 pages to mess around with, and that was a huge thrill. But every idea I had for this entry was too large to fit into the 10 pages I was being given. So every pitch, every story overview that I gave, it needed to be, came back. I needed to whittle it down until I found a cohesive story that, you know, that I could tell cleanly in 10 pages. And, you know, it was a great exercise, as a writer, because it's like my third foray into writing. I don't know if that makes me like a veteran writer or just moonlighting as a writer. but it was a challenge, but it was a great challenge, and I did it. So I can feel very proud of myself for that. And I think it's a pretty good story. I don't really think I can say much, but I can say that, in my story, I get to introduce a new monster that I created. It has that going for it. Yeah. I'm very excited about it. Yeah.
So, you know, with that, obviously we've talked about this before, you know, and obviously we, as you just mentioned, even with Richard E. Grant through Star Wars, when you're working on someone else's IP like this and like Godzilla, there are always going to be restrictions as a creator. Right. And like you said, like yours initially was the length of it, but what kind of restrictions were they looking for? Like story wise, were there anything? Cause I know like previously you had some stuff that you couldn't put into your story in the past just because of it was potentially leaking into other stories at the time and so on and so forth. Was there did they put any gates around you to say like keep it other than the 10 pages, keep it to like a story just about Godzilla, or keep it, you can do people or you can do both, you can, like you said, you introduced a new monster. That's something that I'm kind of surprised by.
I was delightfully surprised as well, because it was something that I had pushed for initially on my big special. I had, you know, learned later on, I'm referring to the book I did in 2022. There was a lot of stuff. I was given a lot of rules back then, things I couldn't do, things to be aware of. And then I found out later that there was stuff that I got away with that I shouldn't have been doing in that. So I felt like I was being a little restricted. It was still very privileged to get to do a story, but, you know, like, oh, I can't do this. That sucks. And then I found out there was stuff that I had slipped in there, because I guess when my story was being approved, there was whoever's job at Toho to check these things, there was a changing of the guard. So I slipped a few things past them, and I feel pretty good about that. So, you know, I think they may have, you know, wisened up a little bit this time around. But I knew the score also. So I knew like what I probably couldn't get away with. And my priority was really just telling like what I thought was a good story. The movie Tremors was a touchstone for me with it. You'll have a better idea of what that means when you read it. I really just wanted to tell like a good creature feature. You know, I treated my last book as if I could do my 2-hour Godzilla epic movie, what would it be like? And this was sort of like, what would be the first movie in a double bill matinee, you know, of B movies. Right. And, just something fun and kind of gnarly. And just as personally, you know, the human angle, everyone always says that the human angles tend to be the weakest aspects of any Godzilla film. But I also believe that they're completely necessary. And so for me, just personally, I wanted to tell a human story, that was, as fun as the battling that was going on. So, and I'd like to think that I succeeded in that as well. You know, just me succeeding in everything that I do is what I want the big takeaway.
Yeah, no, story to be. For sure.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and with you, as you said, Adam, about the human elements of that, I'm not sure if you had or not, but I definitely, the people who complain about that, I'm one of them in the past, but I have to say, I have to rescind that argument slightly after seeing Godzilla Minus One this past year, because it is freaking amazing, and it does a really good job about the human elements, which is, I think it's probably the first of the entire film series, maybe except for the first one.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Like, that movie was, it was a human story first and foremost. So, you know, like, it does stand alone in that regard. But I, you know, I think that I don't see that being repeated far too often.
But
I don't necessarily feel bad about that either.
That's fair. You that's know? Fair. Of course, the Godzilla 70th anniversary one shot is coming to comic shops on May 15th. So definitely check it out. We got some emails that came in. This one from Nan S, who writes in, does this mean that Adam and Mr. Green have meat rivalries? Contest, man. And then, of course, Nan's review of The Fall Guy. Hate the movie. Fake shit. Too much CGI. Okay. Thank you very much for that, Nan. So what do you think? Do you think with your Portuguese chicken, do you think you'd be in a rivalry with Mr. Green over his tasty meats? Or will you guys come together and create meat together?
I would rather live in a world where Mr. Green and I combine our meats. That's the world that I want to live in. I don't want to fight over chicken and Green's meats with anybody, let alone Mr. Go. Green.
There you go. You can't beat those meats right there.
And the good thing about it, Adam, is, of course, is that if we were to do that, then you get all of the rubs. You get all the shoulder massages that you want.
But also rubs with meat. So you guys are going to rub your meat together. That's great.
We're definitely going to rub our meats together.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a tiered, leveled thing we've got going on. I love it.
There you go.
It's the thing I missed the most about you, Adam.
Yeah.
Rubbing your shoulders. That's my favorite thing in the world to do.
Rubbing your meat, definitely. We got another email in from Ben J that says, we love Adam's work. Hey to Green and Andrew. Hey to the old man. Somebody just say my name.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Who? Oh, is it Ben? Is it Ben J?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember Ben J. Good kid. Good kid. Thanks for listening. And remember that you should always make sure you have the right vitamins and minerals every day to make sure that you're healthy. Go for a walk. Touch grass. Make sure you get the right amount of sunlight and the right amount of sleep as well. All right. Thanks, old man. That was very that was good advice.
Sage wisdom right there.
Right there, definitely. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. So the other thing that just kind of got announced this week that I'm very excited about has to do with yourself and another man who's been on the show a number of times. The first time we got to meet you, we met you when you were working with another one of our favorites, Mr. Fred Kennedy, on the independent book Teuton. And this week it's been announced that you guys have a graphic novel coming out, Diablo Legends of the Necromancer Rathma, coming out July 17th. What was it like to get back together with, you know, your good friend Fred to make comics again? It's been a long time since you guys have made comics together.
Yeah, we've been threatening to do it all these years, and it's finally happened. We've made good. It was really terrific. I was so excited to work with Fred again. I mean, I'm in touch with him all the time, so I can't say like I miss the guy, but working on a script that he wrote was just, it was so much fun. And considering the project and the subject matter, I knew it was right up his alley, certainly right up mine. Like it did feel like a homecoming in a way, except on a much larger stage. So I have nothing but great things to say about the project. What little I can say about it so far is that it's really fun. They're really, really cool to work with my buddy.
Well, I know that, one of the things that we've gotten to enjoy over all the past, you know, decade of going to the cons is you and Fred running to the front of every hall, yelling and screaming about how you're going to conquer the universe. So this is a great, you know, pairing again. So hopefully maybe, you know, that'll calm down a little bit now that you'll kind of like satiate that a little.
Well, when you have ambitions as high as mine, you don't calm down about them. You know, like the universe is a big thing and I aim to have it all. So I can't be chill about this. I got to run to the front of lines, whether it's the line at a convention or, you know, a sports arena bathroom line or something like that. They got to know that I'm in it to win it. it's a high stakes game and all the marbles will be mine.
Definitely a high stakes game when it comes to sports arena bathrooms.
Yeah, and you know, and it really is showing your, you know, your true supervillain side that, you know, that we, me and Andrew, have become well acquainted with.
Well, I don't, you know, this is, I guess, where you and I don't exactly see eye to eye. I don't think it's super villainy to want everything and to control it. I think it's just kind of stepping up.
Seems like you've been drawing Darth Vader a bit too long.
I'm not, what do they say? I'm not the stepdad. I'm the dad that stepped up, but I want to be daddy to the universe.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, I can see that.
You got to put that on your business cards, Adam. That's a winning motto right there.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, you know, like, again, we're sitting here, we're talking, and, you know, the confidence side of Adam Gorham is coming out. But of course, there's the more sensitive side. And I feel it comes out sometimes online on your Twitter. Like on April 26th, you admitted that drawing still baffles you.
Yes.
And why, yeah, man. Why am I not surprised by you saying this?
I couldn't speculate why you're not surprised. But it's still, you know, like, I've been doing this all my life professionally for over 10 years at this point. And some days I sit down to draw a page that, like, I don't know where my mind went. I don't know where all my skill and ability went. It's humbling, you know, and certainly a hurdle in my, you know, conquest of the universe. But, you know, I push through it and I persevere, and, you know, my bafflement dissipates. But like, I'm working right now on a one shot of Werewolf by Night with Toronto comic writer Jason Lowe. And it takes place inside of a dinosaur amusement park. And sounds really cool, but drawing roller coasters is not a lot of fun. And I think that was one of the things that baffled me that day was, you know, like, this page of the script sounds awesome. Can't wait to draw it. And then I get down to draw it and I'm like, oh no.
Oh, geez. So you're like, Jason, couldn't they just all be this theme park, just all be just dinosaurs with no roller coasters? Is that,
yeah,
you probably have a lot more fun that way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's the short answer. But you know, sometimes you have to eat your vegetables with your green meats. Right. So.
Is this very similar? I've heard other artists talk about, like, when they do double page spreads and they've got to do, you know, like a JLA reunion, and there's like 8,000 characters, and there's like, you know, the big six in the front, but then everybody else is like basically a pinhead. Is it kind of like that, where it's that tedious, where you're just drawing, like, when you do the roller coasters, is that what your problem is that it's just so tedious?
It's,
or you just don't like roller coasters.
I think it's safe to say that my roller coaster riding days are probably behind me. I rode one a couple of years ago. I think it was Leviathan at Wonderland, and I rode it and I got off of it and I was like, that was great. I don't need to do that ever again. I sat down and I stayed sat for quite a while. It's just, you know, like, it's a lot of ruler work. It is tedious, but it also, because it's, you know, because it's a structure in perspective, if you flub it, it becomes pretty obvious. Whereas with figures, you know, there's a lot of cheat codes with drawing figures, especially figures and tiny figures in perspective. You know, like you say, like, if it's a double page spread with like the JLA, you really just got to nail the main six or the Holy Trinity or, well, you know, there's the ones you focus on. And then, you know, like, I don't know how Alex Ross did it, but, you know, when he was doing Kingdom Come, but, you know, like, you can play fast and loose with some of the background guys. Whereas, like, you know, if a roller coaster looks wonky and it's not supposed to look wonky, people, you know, that guy can't draw a fucking roller coaster. I don't need that.
There goes all your comic work right there. Gone.
Yeah. Because the amount of roller coasters they show up in so many issues. Yeah. Like, so there you go. But one thing that has been a big thing these days, I know, as not only just being a comic creator, you're also a comic fan. You've loved comics since you were a kid. Same as myself. Love comics. Of course, right now, there's a huge X-Men craze going on right now because the X-Men 97 series, We got the Deadpool Wolverine movie coming up, and we've got the new X-Men series coming out soon from the comics in this next year. So that's why I have to say to you, man, some advice. You got to stop giving away your best ideas on social media. Because on April 30th, you put out there, Xavier School should have rival fraternities allowing for a slobs versus snobs comedy among X teams. I don't know. These are things you should be pitching to an editor, not be just putting it out there for free, man.
Well, who's to say I didn't pitch that and they were like, no, thank you. And so I took it to the public to let the public decide.
There you go.
You're pulling a Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, that makes sense.
So when that tweet goes viral, they people want this. They see that obviously, right? And so they come crawling back to me. As Marvel and Disney are known to do.
Oh, yes, of course. They're always crawling back to Adam Gorham. Oh, my God.
So repeat invader there. There we go.
That's right.
But I could definitely see Animal House type Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters with the blob showing up as John Belushi. Yeah, I could see that.
That's the thing, is that when I was thinking it, I was like, I can see this. And so I put it out there. Let's manifest it. It has not yet manifested, I'm sorry to say, but you know.
I can see Quicksilver as Niedermeyer. I think we got something going here. We do.
There's so much to play with. So much to play with.
Yeah, and why not do it as like a one or two issue one off and then just, you know, have some fun. X-Men doesn't always have to be so serious.
A 40-page summer special.
There you go.
Where it's just like X-Men summer camp. And then there's like, you know, a pinup gallery, because we all love those thirsty swimsuit, you know, pinups. We'll bring those back as well. Right.
Oh, yeah, totally. Bring everything from the 90s back. Yeah.
Yeah.
X-Men giant size number two. There we go. That's what you need.
X-Men meets Porky's with, you know, none of the really terrible stuff. But,
yeah, yeah. So a PG Porky's, got it. There we go.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Well, Adam, I want to thank you for coming on the program tonight. Of course, Godzilla 70th Anniversary One-Shot is coming out May 15th to comic shops everywhere. But also tomorrow is Free Comic Book Day. It's also May the 4th, so it's great that we had a Darth Vader artist on the show. But it's Free Comic Book Day. You're going to be at Captain Comics in Brantford, right?
That's correct. I'll be there from 9 to 2, signing comics, selling comics, and drawing stuff, you know, within reason.
Within reason, right there. Again, keep it PG, kids. I want to thank you for coming back on, man. You know we always love having you on, and we'll definitely have you on again sometime soon, and I look forward to seeing your furry little face in person again real soon.
I love being on. Sorry I gave you a heart attack about maybe not being on.
That's okay. Mr. Green also gave me that heart attack. We had tech issues up the wazoo tonight. So there you go.
But it culminated in this. And yes. This is a great episode.
This is a great episode. And I would thank you again, man. Have yourself a great night.
Thank you. Good night, guys.
Thanks. See you, Adam.
Bye.
So that was Adam Gorham. You can catch him at Captain Comics in Brantford tomorrow. And, of course, May 15th, go to your local comic shop and pick up the Godzilla 70th Anniversary One-Shot. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be reading your emails and giving our review of The Fall Guy right here, Geek Card, Reality Radio 101. New hope, kind of like Force Awakens, kind of like New Hope. Remember when you used to go to the comic shop and browse through the stacks, picking up comic after comic, talking to your fellow customers and the store owner about what books you should buy?
What kind of outside people daywalker nonsense are you talking about? I don't go outside.
Well, thank goodness for Back Issue Bloodbath with Andrew Young
and Petula Neal.
When we talk about comics, old and new.
Mostly old.
But sometimes new. Every Wednesday, new episodes drop at geekartshow.com or wherever you catch your pods. Check it out and have yourself a good.
Once upon a time, in a small town so serene, there lived a man named Andrew with his friend, Mr. Green. They heard of a movie that was causing quite a stir, called The Fall Guy, and they wondered who'd concur. So they went to...
Welcome back to Geekard, right here on Reality Radio 101.
Ready to jot down their thoughts, which they'd share with all men.
And now back to your geeks, Andrew Young and Mr. Green.
Welcome back to Geekard. Andrew Young and Mr. Green here. I thought that was a great intro back into the show. Really, the song set the mood and set the stage for our review, don't you think, Mr. Green?
100%.
There you go. Good stuff. Want to remind you folks that this show is brought to you by our new sponsor, Misty Mountain Gaming. Check them out at mistymountaingaming.com. Mr. Green, you are a lover of the tabletop games. You were raised on the dice and the role play, yes?
Yes, I was. D&D, Warhammer, Rifts. I did a bunch of RPG stuff, and of course, just regular tabletop games. Board games has made a resurgence over the past 10, 15 years, and there are some amazing games out there.
Definitely. And when it comes to role-playing games, you know, you want to set the tone, you want to have a great epic adventure, you need to have the right tools of the trade, you know? You want top quality gaming products. And the best place to go is Misty Mountain Gaming. They have products and accessories with guarantees, last a lifetime. You've seen them at conventions all over the world. Now you can get them online, delivered directly to your doorstep. This is definitely, I'm very excited to have them on as a sponsor.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's nice to have somebody that, feels at home.
It's totally.
It's a warm, fuzzy place in my heart for RPGs, tabletops, things of that nature. And let me tell you, having gone out and bought dice, it's an arduous task.
Right, exactly. So you want the top quality product. Like, these people work with Peerless Craftsmen. They offer fine leather and wood products to level up your game. Misty Mountain Gaming is your one-stop shop for all your gaming needs. You definitely got to check them out. www.mistymountaingaming.com. Now let's get into your emails. We have, before we get into the review of The Fall Guy, we have Hank M. who says, Lee Majors, whoa, what a comeback. I enjoyed the film a little. Some really phony stunts. It is a comedy after all. A 4+ rating. Okay. Ken T. writes in, saw it this afternoon. Funny, but not a fan of Gosling. Okay to stream or DVD, but theater? Nah. A 5 rating. Okay.
I like how he got both kinds of ratings in there.
Yeah,
both,
yeah.
Like our style and the traditional number style. That's good.
There you go. Yeah. But I think Mike C. has the biggest insight of us all.
Okay.
Just simple, one sentence. It needed Super Dave Osborne. And that's what I was thinking when I saw this film today, The Fall Guy. I'm like, we got to bring back Bob Einstein from the dead to recapture Super Dave Osborne. Definitely. Oh, my God. So we saw The Fall Guy, directed by David Leitch, written by Drew Pearce, based on the television series by Glenn A. Larson, and produced by 87 North and Entertainment 360, distributed by Universal Pictures. Here to read the synopsis is our good friend Jimmy the Short Order Cook. Hey, how's it going?
Good, bud.
Yeah, you know, that The Fall Guy, that was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid.
Yeah, mine too.
Now, Lee fucking Majors, he's the man, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, so they got this. Do you think Gosling is a Majors? I don't know. I'm a little bit on the fence on this. How do you feel Gosling is a Majors? Can anybody really be a Majors?
Well, Lee Majors is Lee Majors. Ryan Gosling is Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I guess that fucking makes sense. It's like, I can't judge. I got to watch the movie and, put my Lee Majors to the side and try to give the performances their due, right? Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying, Jimmy.
There we go, Different people, different strokes, different folks. Here's the freaking synopsis. He's a stuntman. And like everybody in the stunt community, he gets blown up, shot, crashed, thrown through windows, and dropped from the highest of heights, all for our entertainment. And now, fresh off an almost career-ending accident, this working-class hero has a track, has to track down a missing movie star, solve a conspiracy, and try to win back the love of his life while still doing his day job. What could possibly go wrong? I'm going to give that. I haven't even seen the fucking movie. I'm going to give it the answer. Fucking everything. Everything's going to go wrong. Otherwise, there's no fucking movie, right?
Well, that's usually how these things work, yes.
All right, so there we go. Okay, I look forward to your review. I got to get back to fucking work. Enjoy your night. And there he goes. There he goes. So, Mr. Green, the Fall Guy, as we said, you know, it's loosely based on the TV series with Lee Majors. I was really happy that the song, the theme song, got played.
Yeah.
The Unknown Stuntman. I love that song. It's a fun song. But then also, there are some cameos in the mid-credits scene.
There are for sure. It's a movie that I was on two minds of when I first heard it was announced, and then I warmed up to it, and then I got cooled off, and then I warmed up when I saw the first trailer, and now having seen it, because like I grew up watching The Fall Guy, mm-hmm. like I was on TV when I was a kid. I got to watch it as it was airing back in the day, and I remember loving it. Like that song, yeah, absolutely. But now, obviously, like a lot of those, as you well know, we've talked about this off air for over the several years now of the show. A lot of our favorite 80s shows do not age well.
Yeah, they have trouble holding up because a lot of them were written to be the same episode over and over again.
Yeah, so if you go back and you look at things like Knight Rider, A-Team, The Fall Guy, like a bunch
Simon
of those.
Simon,
oh my God. Like there's a ton of Stephen J. Cannell stuff that's just pretty much all the same thing. And that is a problem with that specific era of television. There are some exceptions, obviously. But most of it is that the concept is cooler than the actual product. Let's face facts. This is something that I think is ripe for, you know, a redo. The only thing I would say before I get into my actual full review is that I think that this idea is better served as a TV show. Mm. Right. Now the difference is, I think that's because of the fact that I watch the TV show and I like the TV show. And the TV show is, of course, that he's a bounty hunter, which is not something that this Cult Seavers is doing. He just gets brought into the machinations of what's going on in this and gets kind of caught up in the whole thing. And that's fine. And if as a movie, cool. Right. But I kind of like the idea of him going out and solving stuff because I like Cult Seavers. I like the character.
Right, I like
the idea. I also love the idea, like they do in this film, is highlighting and celebrating the greatness of the stuntmen. And like there's some people who do the work on every film. They do a lot of work. You know, everybody who does stunt performances is amazing. In what they do and what they put their lives on the line. And this film, what shocked me was that it put it on it's basically the first beat of the story.
Yeah, no, totally. And well, here's the thing, like the film was directed by David Leitch, who started in the business as a stuntman.
Yeah.
You know, so of course, you know, stunts were going to take the front and center in this story because of the story, the people involved, it makes perfect sense. What I found hilarious, and you can get away with this in a comedy, is that there were a number of scenes in this movie that if they were in other movies would not be a fight scene. But they were a fight scene in this movie. Like scenes where he's going to search and get some information. Suddenly there's a fight. Scenes where he's checking on his girlfriend and there's a fight. You know, it's like all that sort of stuff. Every scene had a fight in it to the point that when he gets to the third act, and it becomes what it becomes.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm in for the craziness. This works. You know how earlier on in the year when we saw Argyle, I said that Matthew Vaughn did up too much because he took it far past the line of believability and didn't do it the right way. This film goes past the line of a believability in the correct way. It sets you up the entire time to go, we're going to be telling a crazier and crazier story, but we're still going to leave some semblance of like a through line so that logically to the story, it makes sense. And I feel that they did a good job of making all of the stunts and craziness actually fit the story, something which I thought Argyle did not earlier on.
Yeah, I totally agree. One of the great devices of this film for me personally was the mixing of the realities of the actual shooting and then going into and actually showing you what it would look like in the film itself, the finished film, and then going back to the stunt performance and the actors on the set, like there's like only six of them. And it's like, here's a plastic rock and here's the green screen and all this stuff. And then you go back out again and it's like, they're fully in the film and everything is hidden. And it's the, you know, and all that stuff going on. Really love that kind of, you know, which is, again, a little bit meta, is when they're doing the whole split screen conversation, which was really well done. But mm-hmm. it's that kind of thing that I thought that Leach did a really good job in this of helping us move back and forth into that weird reality, but also making sure that, like, to your point, you know that we're blending all this together. Like, this is a crazy idea.
Yeah. Also, and like, again, you mentioned the meta, using meta in the right way, which I felt was done very well here. Using meta in the right way to convey your message without editorializing, in my opinion. So case in point, the split screen conversation is one that works very well, but then also kind of continually having that driving message that the stuntman is the unsung hero of the movies and doesn't get any recognition without beating you over the head with it. Makes it fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Doesn't pontificate, actually shows. And I thought that was really well done. But what are you saying? You're saying people should see in theaters, wait for runs or stream, or skip it altogether?
I had a lot of fun with this. I'm going to say go see it in theaters because I how much fun I had with this film personally.
Okay, I'm going to say see it in theaters as well. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, you're going to hear Mr. Green's interview with George Rexdrew and Jaden Reverie right here, Geekyard Radio 101.
Don't forget, I have picked half you crazy white boys with Hawk, codenamed Stalker, Scarlet, calls me Stoss. Y'all know me, Motor City, ran more than a block. Soldiers with Glocks, I shot at cops, I had to.
Calling all tabletop gaming adventurers. At Misty Mountain Gaming, we live and breathe dice. Crafted with unparalleled precision, our dice are the cornerstone of tabletop adventures. But that's not all. We offer premium accessories, minifigures, and monthly loot boxes delivered right to your doorstep. Join us and let the journey begin. www.mistymountaingaming.com, where dice are life.
In the cold, we bring the whispers in the...
Welcome back to Geekyard right here on Reality Radio 101. And now, right back to your geeks, Andrew Young and Mr. Green.
Welcome back to Geekyard. Andrew Young and Mr. Green here, brought to you by Misty Mountain Gaming. Check them out at www.mistymountaingaming.com. A few weeks ago, Mr. Green got a chance to talk with George Rexdrew and Jaden Reverie, the stars of the Netflix series Dead Boy Detectives, which is streaming now. Let's take a listen to that interview.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing? I like the Yoda.
Yeah. Thank you. Very cool. I really appreciate you guys taking the time this morning to talk to me. I really love the show. And I was just wondering if you guys could each talk a little bit about each of your respective characters.
Yeah, for sure. I play Edwin Payne, who died in 1916. He spent over 70 years in hell being chased and torn up by a gigantic demonic spider. He escaped in 1989, met Charles Rowland in the attic of St. Hilarion's boarding school. And off they trotted for the next 30 plus years to pursue being supernatural detectives.
I'm assuming it's not often you do interviews within the first 10 seconds. You get spoken about baby doll spiders ripping people up.
Welcome to our show. Listen, this is a sci-fi podcast, right? So,
okay, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I played Charles Rowland, who died in 1989. He died of hypothermia and internal bleeding. He meets Edwin Payne, and Edwin kind of teaches him how to be a ghost. They find this amazing bond through wanting to fight injustices for people who have been through the same things that they have. And like George said, 30 years pops along, and here we are in the present day.
Then Crystal Palace comes and ruins it all.
Not for Charles. I mean, I know Charles loves it, but for Edwin, maybe.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's great to see how the show unveils itself to us over the span of it. And one of the things I really liked about it is, you know, there's a lot of things actually, but one of those is the double-edged sword of the lightness and the darkness that goes on throughout that permeates pretty much every single character. But both of you each have your moments of humor. But of course, as you've already alluded to, some really deep-seated darkness and pain underlying that, especially Eugene, Charles's character. We don't know as much about him as we do Edwin to start off the show, and then that gets revealed. And, you know, what was it like for each of you guys to play that kind of darkness and lightness throughout the season?
It was made really easy for me because obviously when you film the pilot, that's the only script you read. And I kind of had this image of Charles as this like really cheeky, go lucky, charming guy. And as it went on and the more I read the scripts, the more I learned about why he is the way he is. So it was really easy for me because I was learning on the spot the same way that Charles was. And in terms of bringing that kind of, you know, emotion to the screen, it was just about making sure I did enough research on people who have been through those kind of similar things that Charles has. I spoke to a guidance counselor on how people kind of deal with those kind of situations and just, you know, making sure I did it justice and hoping that people who have been through those kind of situations can watch it and take something away from it, you know?
I think the writing took care of a lot of the light and shade. I think, but I'm really glad you pointed it out because I think that's one of the things that's great about our show. There's a real balance, isn't there, of, you know, fighting squids and then the absolute worst experiences known to man.
Yeah.
I think as an actor, it was kind of a dream to play because, you know, as you said, we lent into comedy more in some moments and then we really lean into drama. Although it probably reads as horrendous, it was actually really fun to play.
Oh, yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, for each of you, do you guys have a favorite moment or episode from the series that you look forward to everybody checking out?
Great question. I think I love that scene in episode 5, Under the Canopy, towards the end where Charles is so worried about, you know, being a bad guy and Edwin finds some emotional intelligence from somewhere and kind of pulls him out of the hole. And then Charles is so affected that he hugs Edwin and Edwin has this real epiphany. And that, for me, that was a real shift in the course of the series. And I loved filming that scene.
And for me, I love the scene of Edwin and Nico in the final episode where they're talking on the rooftop. I mean, I love that dynamic of friendship. And I think Nico really brings a lot out of Edwin and introduces him to a lot of things. I really think she is the laborer of love in the series. And that scene ultimately, I think, shows the biggest contrast of Edwin from the start to, you know, then. Yeah, love that scene.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you guys ever so much both for taking the time to talk to me today and filming Dead Boy Detectives, because I can't wait for everybody else to check it out. It's awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Shout out to Canada.
Yeah, for real.
So that was George Rexdrew and Jaden Reverie. Of course, you can check out Dead Boy Detectives right now on Netflix. Mr. Green, we've come to the end of the program. Tell the good folks where they can find us.
As always, if you like what we do here, you can find more content over at patreon.com/geekard. And for everybody who participates in that right now, we thank you guys ever so much. You guys are amazing. Of course, additional content is always available through YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. Yes, even Pinterest. Search Geekard Show on any of those platforms and you'll find us there. Of course, check out our website, geekardshow.com, for more news, reviews, and the podcast version of this very show available on Mondays after 2 p.m. But if you're super forgetful or you didn't listen live like you did tonight, the best thing you can do is what, Andrew?
Subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice and leave a 5-star rating and review.
Absolutely. And of course, you can always continue to email us anything that you want to talk about, geekardshow@gmail.com.
I want to thank George Rescrew, Jaden Redfree, and the lovely Adam Gorham for coming on the program. For Mr. Green and for Yuri all the way back there in the booth, and to Misty Mountain Gaming, check them out at mistymountaingaming.com. This is Andrew Young saying, if you're going to geek out, you might as well geek hard on Reality Radio 101.
May the force be with you.
What happened to these peeps you used to see? They'll say they knew that you...
Thank you for listening to Geek Hard with your host, Andrew Young, and Mr. Green right here on Reality Radio 101.